They think they're smart, but what do they know? It's Hector and Krish, the pedestrian show.
They changed their name just for you, but what do they know? They still got sued.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, it's the one without a review.
Their friends make jokes at their expense, but the biggest laughs on the audience.
So sit right back, grab a beer, you're gonna need it, Shreether is here.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, won't you leave a review?
Hi, thanks for downloading another episode of the Podestrian Podcast. Just a few things up top. We have our next live show coming up on April 13th at 7 p.m. at 2081 Mission Street in San Francisco, California. This might be our last show for a while, maybe forever. It'd be great to have you guys come out here. We're going to take a little time off, and we're going to see if we can sort of retool our show. We like to deconstruct our show and take the parts that we like and see if we can melt it down and distill it and just like make a very concentrated form of this, of all the fun parts that we like. So come check out our maybe last show at 2081 Mission Street. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We're going to have games. Come with your questions. Ask us anything you want. And in the meantime, continue to download these episodes. We'll still be releasing episodes that Krish and I record at home with our friends. Maybe not as regularly as we have been in the past, but maybe we might also pepper in some new ideas that we have. But please keep downloading. Please follow us on Twitter at RealPodestrians. Please find us on Facebook as Pedestrians. And or go to our website, thepodestrians.com. This next episode that you're about to hear was a really fun recording we had with our friends from Naptime Comedy, Matt Dunn, Dan Lewis, Shreether Ramesh. The three of them, together with me and Krish, we were the original group when we were called the Pedestrians, and we were doing improv together as the Pedestrians. It was an idea birthed from some inside joke that really makes no sense anymore. But these people are some of the funniest people that I know, and really just really love hanging out with them and talking with them. Unfortunately, there were some technical issues where I accidentally recorded over deleted my track. So what you'll hear is everyone will come in clearly except me. Instead, I will be heard as ambient noise in the background. I apologize for that, but still, I think it's good enough for us. So, yes, hope you enjoy the first half of our conversation. We'll release the next half next week. And we'll see you at our show on April 13th, Friday the 13th, 7 p.m., 2081 Mission Street. Potentially our last show. Come say hi to us. Thanks.
Check.
Let's start.
Okay, well, welcome to the Podestrian Podcast. We're recording live
at Hector's place.
At my place.
Yeah. This is a first.
This is a first. We're in Krish, do you want to paint the room for us?
It does need a paint job, but I'm not gonna do that. there's a green wall.
There's one green wall, like Glenn Greenwald. Mm-hmm. You guys are familiar with
the journalist who
you
helped
haven't
with...
been introduced yet.
Sorry.
Glenn Greenwald, the
journalist who.
let's talk about WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
We're recording live in our studio. In my place. Krish, thank you for coming out here.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah.
So
You know, I don't know. Some of this will get cut out, some of this won't.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe we'll cut the entire thing out.
Yeah, but we'll cut the entire thing out. We'll just have jokes by Dan. Yeah. But that really brings us to what we're doing here today. We got the original crew.
Yeah, we got the original crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our friends who were there at the inception of this, of the pedestrians.
Yes, when we spelled it with an E instead of an O.
Yeah, things have changed so much.
Things have changed so much, yeah.
We closed that E into an O.
Yeah, we've rebranded.
We've rebranded, yeah. We're now a lifestyle podcast.
Yeah.
We're all about
helping people. We're going back to the original, the original crew.
Yeah.
The ones, we were all in Stageworks for an hour one day and played to an audience of one.
Yeah.
Max McCall.
Yeah, that's right. There was that one time where we performed live. Do you guys remember this? You can nod.
I remember a number.
Shut up! Thank you. So it's with so much pleasure that we have our good friend, Dan Lewis.
And Matt Dunn.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
This is Dan here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for coming, yeah.
Yeah. Both of you have been on this podcast.
Yeah, before, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been a while, but I feel like we knew not to talk until we were introduced. And Trether, who's been on this podcast innumerable times.
Well, Matt, I'm sorry. You're referring to someone who hasn't been introduced yet.
Right.
Isn't that the way you would introduce someone?
Shut up!
I believe that's called Shreether's Folly.
Yes, that is Shreether's Folly. And the fact that you've committed Shreether's Folly, you now may no longer ever eat cheese.
Yeah. I thought Shreether's Folly was the purchase of Alaska in the 1800s.
Okay, so there we are. Shreether Ramesh coming in with that beaut of a joke.
Right, yeah. Just above the line for entry.
Yeah, so crossing that threshold. Back to
you must be this high in order to be a joke.
You must be this funny to come onto the podcast. Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having this in Oakland. Nothing's ever in Oakland.
So I know, we all really live in Oakland.
Pretty much.
Which is sweet. I like the Bay Area, but like Oakland, I feel like is a thing that makes me very happy. You know,
takes me back. Yeah,
I prefer it to San Francisco.
Yeah,
just because San Francisco is further away.
Yeah, me too.
I prefer living where I live also because it's very close to where I live.
Of course, that's where a lot of the car accidents happen, mostly around that area as well.
Yeah, close I've read to where the same thing about where I live.
So it gives some, it takes some. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you saying there's car accidents around where...
Well, most car accidents I've heard occur within 5 miles of the home.
Yeah.
He's saying it's very convenient to live near home, but in other ways, he's not considered some of the downsides.
Yeah, most domestic abuse happens in the home.
I think it has to. Yeah. Otherwise, when you're out in public, it's public abuse.
Yeah.
Could be international abuse if you're traveling.
No.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah.
And there we're off to a start already.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable joking about that, guys. So I'm just gonna.
That's important.
Someone had to call it out.
Someone had to call it out.
I'm glad it was me.
I'm glad that Matt is playing the straight man here.
Someone has to.
Anyways, it's great to be here. It's great that we had pizza.
We did have pizza with smoked mozzarella.
Someone was saying it tasted like bacon. I didn't taste the bacon.
I thought it tasted bacony.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Maybe you have a refined palate, Matt.
It was a warning to the vegetarians in the room that they may be biting off more than they could chew.
That's fair. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's value for someone who is the taste tester to make sure if there's meat or not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've often had people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, but it's a weird thing, kind of. Right?
It's sort of like a Shabbos goy, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. It's that.
Oh, they have I'm inferring from what you're saying that there is a non-Jew at one of these. What's a Shabbos again? What is
it? It's sort of like
it's the Saturday.
It's the Saturday
Sabbath.
Day of rest.
Oh, right. Yeah. The Big Lebowski.
Where they can't turn on lights.
Yeah, okay. And so what is he doing? He's turning on the lights.
Yeah, exactly.
Or he also
eats the bacon.
Yeah, right. Eat that bacon. Make sure there's no pig in it.
Yeah, well, thank you for being our
counselor. It's no problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's it.
That's our show. That's our show. Thanks so much for being on.
Well, I was saying before we started, we were having such a lively conversation in the kitchen that by the time we sat down to podcast, we were going to be out of stuff to talk about.
We have so much to talk about. I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Yeah, it's true. It's been ages.
I don't know what's been going on. Like, are you guys still working for the Federal Reserve? Are you guys still planning a heist to steal the...
We completed that heist ages ago.
Oh. Yeah. If you need interest rates lowered or raised, just let me know today. Nah, I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. But maybe I will. Nah, I'm not going to.
Well, Dan does work for
a bank, right? But let me know. We'll talk after. Yeah. I do work for a bank, so a big unpopular bank. Money. Mm-hmm.
You do work for a bank. That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, I get paid
on
in those...
On the security end, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, tangentially so, it's a QA thing, yeah. I mostly set rules for, like, giving, you know, how many illegal accounts you can give people before they notice, things like that, like how many unethical or unlawful interest rate payments on loans that they didn't ask for, things like that. I'm mostly in that category.
Is that, like, set? Is that a fixed... limit per person, or is it like?
Well, we like to say in my department there really are no limits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We like to take it.
So it's like no limit poker.
It's not limit, and we're all in, and we have more than you do. You're screwed.
Do you do like the default credit swaps and derivative stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Are you deep in that?
That was me.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was me. Oh, sorry.
That was so impressive.
Yeah.
You know, you caused a lot of trouble a few years back.
Yeah.
Like, no one got punished for that. No.
Trouble, you say? Houses, did they get cheaper or did they not?
Did they?
They did get cheaper, my friend.
In places other than the Bay Area.
Thanks to you know what. Let everybody know that I'm now... pointing two thumbs at myself with great pride.
Yeah, I noticed your license plate says London Whale.
Yeah.
What is that a reference to?
I don't know.
Oh.
It had something to do with some interest rate that was set in England in the bank. You know what I'm talking about? The Bank of England? Or
no, it just sounded funny. I didn't know.
It sounds like a high roller in the London financial industry.
I thought of a whale as being, I've heard that euphemism before, right? A whale. So a London whale would be like, you know, the tweed coat, but basically the same thing.
It's a cute idea.
I just realized that we can't use any of this. Like, I don't think I'm going to put myself on the internet just talking badly about the company that I work for that will surely fire me.
Paranoid that they're going to look up this fucking...
What about the podcast, Streeter?
Yeah, tell us about the podcast. This fucking what?
Yeah.
This fucking wonderful podcast and be angry at the things you said.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Well, we can edit any or all of this out.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm just...
Should we just raise our hands if we have something we want edited out?
Yeah.
I would like Matt edited out of the entire podcast.
Will do.
Yeah, that's like the Garfields without Garfield.
Yeah.
That's Matt good.
I'm the star of the show, baby.
Matt kind of is the Garfield of this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Matt is the empty Sonya.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
I
feel about Mondays.
Hate Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hate my dog Odie.
Yeah. Is your creator friend?
You own Odie?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't pick up on that strip.
Right.
There's a
it was a chattel slavery situation.
There's like a sideways
these slaves being slaves things.
Oh no.
Right. Slaves being slave owners.
Let's cut. I'm raising my hands for
right,
those
that's,
listening
that's
on the
cut out. Yep.
I'll also just kind of make sure we're staying woke
course,
during this conversation
it's
too.
Thank you for being our woke.
Thank you.
Someone needs
which is ironic because if you are the Garfield means that your creator is friends with Mike Pence.
It also means I probably wouldn't be
the Garfield creator.
Jim Davis and Mike Pence.
Jim Davis and Mike Pence are.
Jim Davis is Mike Pence.
They're really good friends.
Oh, how did that come about?
They're neighbors.
Pence is the president of the Garfield fan club, and that's right.
I would think he'd be the vice president.
Well, you know.
that was a good joke. I like
that's
that.
That's good. Yeah, very good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that Pence.
I mean, who would have thought two boring automatons would get along together?
Yeah. The creator of Dilbert and Slobodan Milosevic were very close.
Actually,
the creator of Dilbert is super conservative.
Yes,
and, like,
that's
apolitical.
The joke, and you just let the joke go and just
I
let
didn't
it be.
Think
your
that
joke was
joke.
Unclear.
Yeah, I thought you were just saying it's two fucking random white guys.
Yeah, no, your joke was murky at best.
Crazy, insane maniac and Slobodan Milosevic.
Well, Matt and I both did not pick up on it.
No, it was a murky joke. Yeah. Like,
okay, that's two against one.
I thought it was all over the place.
Yeah. I stand by it. It was all over the place. You're over here, you're over there, both.
One thing to note about Scott Adams of Dilbert is that he doesn't proclaim to be conservative. He does the thing where he like hedges all his arguments. He's like, look, I vote for Democrats usually, but isn't it crazy that Hillary Clinton's like the lead Democrat?
I mean, even more than being conservative, he's just kind of a like hateful, angry guy.
Yeah.
That's one of my least favorite things, too. It's like I would have more respect, I think, if you were to go, look, this is just what I believe. Sanctuary City, what are you talking about? You know, but he does
you'd have more respect for that.
You know, I would have slightly more respect for it, yes, because there's a kind of he's for all the same things, he's gonna vote all the same ways, but there's a disingenuousness.
Right, he's actually owning up to you're actually owning up to what you believe.
It's
as opposed to just saying, you know, listen, I'm not saying this, but some people are saying Sanctuary City.
I think he is the type of person that would get someone on the fence over to his side by doing that. Like, look, I know Donald Trump's an idiot, but look at this. Like, isn't things better?
And maybe he's not.
Yeah.
I heard an interview with Scott Adams, though, actually. Scott Adams, right?
Yeah.
I heard an interview with him recently.
Adam Scott, that's correct.
Scott, right. Yeah, let's go ahead and go with that. No, Scott Adams, and he was... And in that interview, he really was. He not only doesn't think Trump's an idiot, he actually thinks Trump is. Because I guess Scott Adams is really into this whole like powers of persuasion tricks and stuff. And he believes Trump is like absolute greatest at this that's ever lived. Like, he thinks that he's a genius.
Like, people who are into the game.
It's not quite like the Neil Strauss kind of thing, but it's more like the thing where he's like, there are tricks you can do to get people. To convince people of things and to signal things that you want to do. And he's like, he paints Trump as somebody who's an absolute master at it.
Yeah.
And who's in fact like very, very skilled. Whereas even people who voted for, a lot of people who voted for Trump, they're not under any illusions that he's like a skilled per se, but just sort of honest.
So Scott Adams is like the 13-dimensional chess camp.
Yeah, exactly. He thinks he's, I don't know what that means, but exactly.
Well, to jump on that, Scott Adams also sung the merits or the praises of The Secret, you know, the book The Secret.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I used to read Dilbert comics, and I actually read Scott Adams' book back in like high school.
Oh, I read his books in high school.
Yeah, I liked him back then, too.
It's called My Struggle or something like that.
One of his books was like super loopy.
He has a chapter on like talking about the multiverse and how you can change reality. And he gives all these examples from his own life. He's like, I used to write down on a piece of paper, I will write a Sunday morning comic strip that I'll be famous for. And then he came up with Dilbert, and he like credits that with it. But he does the thing where he hedges it, where he's like, I'm not saying this is true. Yeah.
But
all
I did
I'm
it
saying
and it
is
worked.
That I did it three times and it worked.
Exactly. I hate that. And you know what I love is that you never ever hear that really good, deep, in-person, hour-long interview with the person who wrote something on a piece of paper every day and nothing good happened for them.
Exactly.
And their life went to shit.
Yeah,
and why am I on this radio show?
It never happens. It works. It works perfectly.
You got me there.
But I've heard Jerry Seinfeld actually did a very similar thing about... Oh, what?
No, I was doing that for off the mic for people listening. I put my head to my hand as if, man, Jerry Seinfeld's an idiot.
So Jerry Seinfeld also, I believe, has a story about how he also used to write down, I'll be a great comic someday, in a little journal every day or something. Yeah. What's that?
Has it happened?
No, but he's convinced it will someday.
Yeah, so I thought what you were actually going to talk about was Jerry Seinfeld, and I saw him do an interview recently where he was talking about Harvey Weinstein and Louis C.K. And he was...
I'm getting my hand ready.
And he was talking to this... The interviewer was a woman, and she asked him a question. He's like, "Hey, honey, please." And he was like, started mansplaining
to her. I've
seen
this. Yeah.
Is this on like Israeli radio?
Comes back. What's that?
This was on, I think, an Israeli radio or something
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He was in a visit to Israel, and he was doing a radio appearance. Sorry, but I think I saw the same.
Yeah.
That's weird. The honey thing.
I mean,
we're all being stereotypical men interrupting each other as we tell this story.
Yeah, and I do like to point out to anybody who ever thinks I'm mansplaining,
actually,
I am just a very pedantic asshole. I'll cut anyone off. That's not to say I won't mansplain. I will.
Yeah. I mean, people forget that Seinfeld like started dating a woman when she was
17. Yeah, she was in high school. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like that's just flown under the radar for years, and like people have just kind of accepted it. But like that's when he was like
not his current wife. No,
did they get divorced at some point?
He didn't marry the high schooler. They dated. He didn't marry her, and then he married somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But this was around the time. I mean, when Seinfeld was on, like around the time of 97 or so. When Seinfeld was just about to end, he was dating a 17-year-old, and it was like mildly scandalous, but not scandalous enough that people remember it anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People at the time were like, "Oh, that's a crazy thing to do." Yeah. Anyway, I love his show.
I mean, it's like the Woody Allen Manhattan thing or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Like at the time, if you'd made that now, you'd be. Dating somebody now, it would be insane. Yeah.
Wait, if Woody Allen started dating someone now?
No, if I started dating anyone.
That would be surprising.
But I feel like you and I are both coughing.
Yeah, are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting over the flu.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh.
The flu.
Yeah, I didn't tell you guys. I got tested for the flu. By the way, they can test you for the flu, and the test is done in 10 minutes.
Are you still contagious?
Mm-hmm, very much so. I didn't tell you at all because I didn't want
to,
you know.
This room has no ventilation. Yeah. I forgot to paint that part of the room.
I mean, I'm going on vacation on Friday, so.
I've got a fun game we could play. Why don't we all take turns sipping from this glass of water?
Better game. Why don't I spit in that glass and then you guys drink?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think I'm over it. Yeah. Like it's...
How long have you had it?
It started a week ago.
Okay.
But it was a very, it was like a one and a half day.
And your parents brought that over from...
My parents brought it to me from Ohio.
And Matt's going
to
bring it...
to bring you something.
Yeah. And Matt's going to bring it to New Zealand.
I hope not.
Well, the funny part is that places like New Zealand and Australia have such crazy import restrictions, but you can't like...
But they don't screen your viruses. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's about time they started.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
I'm busting for chops, I assumed.
What's that?
Going to screen you for viruses.
Yeah, they're going to screen you for viruses.
Was that a New Zealand accent or an Australian accent? Are we cutting this?
Sorry about that.
That sounds like something Jermaine would say from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. I've said this before. The only way to do a New Zealand accent that I'm aware of is...
What's the guy's name?
Brit.
Hey, Brit. Hey, Brit.
That's the closest I've ever been to a New Zealand accent.
Actually.
Yeah, I guess actually.
All A's become I's.
You know,
actually.
Well, never mind.
This is, it's good that you guys are bringing this up because now we've rebranded. Like, we're a lifestyle podcast. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be called the Concords Conversation, where we talk about the
really?
Concords. Yeah,
this is all we're about.
I never actually finished watching the entirety of the series. I
Me
should
either.
Go back.
Oh,
and, yeah.
There's a big cliffhanger at the end of season two.
Oh, really?
Like, will they get picked up? Though?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, yeah. So is it that they never got picked up, or they just decided to stop making it? Or
I think what happened was like they had a lifetime supply of songs for the first.
Yeah, season, exactly.
And then they had to write new songs and new
and then they
episodes in 1 year.
Burned down.
Runs
yeah.
out quick.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing though, and I would have just burned everything in the
I
first
mean,
one.
The
just...
first thing that you do that is successful is going to be amazing because you spend your whole life coming up with ideas and wanting
to... Well, I think they call it, like, the sophomore slump, right? It's like
that's
the
right.
second album.
That's you hear about all these bands that have a great first album, and then it's like, that was their, like, 10 years of getting to that point, and then it's like, all right, now get in and make one more album.
That could also be regression to the mean, like, just...
Well, yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
As well, yeah.
Sure.
That's why Meet the Beatles was so good, and the rest of them were just dog shit.
Yeah. I mean, is the first Beatles album the one with all the cover songs?
Several Beatles albums have a lot.
It's
of
like
covers.
A lot of
you
cover
mean,
songs.
Skiffles.
Those are my favorites. I think
Mercy Beat.
Yeah, sure.
I don't even know these Beatles ref. I don't know a lot of Beatles stuff.
Mercy Beat was the fifth Beatle, John Mercy Beat.
Oh,
they kicked him out because they couldn't have two Johns in the band.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
There was a what. Wait, is Stu Sutcliffe the fifth Beatle? Or is
he's one of the people that they say.
Pete Best.
He's one of... There's four fifth Beatles.
Yeah. And who's the guy who...
There's also George Martin.
George Martin, I think, actually genuinely deserves some credit as a huge part of the Beatles.
Sure. Who's the guy who replaced Paul McCartney when he died? What's his name?
Wait, Paul McCartney died?
You can tell because on
the track I Am the Walrus in the background, you can hear Paul McCartney drinking a poison for which there is no antidote.
Oh. Yeah, right. And also in the London Times the next day is a big article about how he died.
Yeah.
Drinking a poison for which there is no antidote.
Yeah, if you listen real closely,
this was in one of the Scott Adams books.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what? Books. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can hear Ringo sing, Paul, don't drink that.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying.
It's poison. Don't tell me what to do.
When I was a child, I mean, I guess this happens a lot. When I was a child, I would see that whenever, like, a cartoon showed a popular rock band or something, they would always have them have this Liverpudlian accent, but I didn't know about the Beatles or anything, so I didn't understand why this trope existed in cartoons.
Yeah.
It was years before I realized why they made everyone have this accent.
Were the monkeys English?
Yes.
Yes. Did they have a Liverpudlian accent?
They weren't Liverpudlian.
No, I don't think they were British.
Yeah, they were.
I watched the monkeys on TV when I was a kid.
I don't think they were British.
You're right, they weren't British.
American.
Why did I think? Oh, you know what this is?
So they're copying British Invasion music and stuff.
This is the Mandela effect. I remember them as British because in my timeline,
Mandela
they are
was British,
British
so you
yeah.
think he was
British.
British.
I mean,
that makes sense, yeah.
Mandela was rightfully British. I don't understand why.
Not exactly.
Why did you elect me president? I'm not even from here.
What? Davy Jones? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Davy Jones did not have
a British accent.
I don't know.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, Davy Jones had a British accent.
But Mickey Doolin didn't.
You know, David Bowie's real name is also Davy Jones.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, David Jones.
And he's not British either.
No.
In my timeline, he's American. Yeah.
There was a couple years in the 70s where he was legitimately British. I think he had a phase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was right after glam and all the sparkles.
Yeah, before the Young Americans album.
And it was long before Tin Machine. There was a short British period where he was actually, and he was knighted during that.
I thought he received a dukeship. Thin White Duke.
Oh, Thin White Duke. That's right.
Are you talking about the Berlin era?
Yeah.
That's when he was most.
Berlin stands for Britain, London.
Yeah.
I feel like I should go back and listen to like Bowie's songs. Other than I only know him by the hit. I prefer
the earlier Bowie before he died.
Yeah.
Same here.
Matt, I feel like you're saying that you listen to Bowie, but you don't hear Bowie.
No, that's not what I was saying at all.
You're saying you hear Bowie, but you don't listen to Bowie. Yeah.
No,
I hear him, but I don't see him. I don't know where it's coming from.
I listen to Bowie, but I hear Davy Jones. I'm sorry.
No, none of this is correct. No, I'm saying there's so many bands that I only know the hits, and I probably I'm never gonna dig deep into like Queen's catalog or.
Yeah,
or
Queen's work
you could stick with the hits. Like people like mock greatest hits albums, like they're like this tacky thing. But what am I gonna do? I'm gonna put on all the dross, just the filler? No, I want the hits.
The hits. I mean, the hits were arbitrarily determined sometimes.
Yeah, and some of my favorite bands' albums, like I don't necessarily listen to like the hit songs most. I'm like, oh, this track number 7 is great. No one plays this on the radio, so I'm sure they have versions of that I have never heard.
Is that?
The number 7's in the blank tracks.
I like track number 2. Oh no, what is it? The Blur song, track number 2?
Yeah, song 2.
Song number 2, yeah.
What do you think is the best track number, period?
I actually used to think frequently that the 12th track on any album was the best.
12th? You
12th
are.
Is usually...
Many albums don't even have a 12th.
Those aren't good albums.
I always felt the penultimate track was the best.
I think track 3 is usually quite strong.
Yeah. Usually 1 is like a weird intro song or particularly short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2, they usually drop something that they're trying, like, you know, maybe a harder rock song. And then 3 is usually where they find their rhythm.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes like 4 as well can be...
That can be good. That's for the
don't forget 5.
That's for the deeper fan.
Oh, yeah.
They get into 4.
I'm a 12 man to the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
I honestly feel penultimate. Like, the last song is always like, oh, that's something I have to get used to, but the penultimate is always...
I mean, I agree with Hector as concerns albums that have 13 tracks.
Yeah.
What about, how do people feel about hidden tracks?
Oh.
It's always weird when I'm on Spotify now and they just upload a thing with the hidden track still and it's like a bunch of silent nothing tracks or something.
Yeah, hidden tracks, that's a weird thing for this day and age.
That was big in the new metal craze of the late 2000s.
Matt, were you into new metal?
I was very into, I liked Korn and
Limp Bizkit. Hector, do you say new?
New.
I say new too, but I feel
umlaut,
like
isn't there?
There's an umlaut.
Oh, you're doing it because of the umlaut. I say new for the word new, N-E-W, anyway, normally. But
and to be clear, the umlaut is there because it's spelled N-U.
Yeah.
So like the umlaut makes it sound like new.
Yeah, new.
So you should be saying the same word.
I should be saying new.
Yes.
Yeah, but I say new because it sounds cooler.
I just say new because it's like, a, you know, my parents say new, so I picked up new from them.
Also, there's a G in front of it. It's G-N-U metal.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Wait, you pronounce the animal, you pronounce the animal new, but you say the word N E W.
I pronounce GNU.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
GNU.
I say gunmetal.
Gunmetal.
There was a hidden track on the Jack White record that he came out with, like on the actual vinyl. There's a hidden track.
Where you have to pick up the needle and
put
it
it's like,
else.
Yeah, you put it on another album. The hidden track is Silver Spring by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, no, the hidden track is underneath like the label and stuff. It was just, just sort of a bit of a, it's a goofy thing that he did that he, you know, and that album's full of little tricks and things. It has a, well, there's one song that starts with like a electric guitar intro, but if the groove randomly comes on a different spot, it does an acoustic guitar intro, so the song is a little bit different each time.
Oh, so you can't choose it, kind of.
No, it just sort of chooses it.
I've heard of other albums doing that same randomness thing, but I can't remember what other albums.
Really? Are you saying Jack White is some sort of trickster god?
Yeah,
that's what I'm gathering from this.
Right, he's a demigod, right? He came down and he pressed wax like you wouldn't believe. He presseth onto all of us.
I do admire your commitment to buying vinyl albums.
I was going to say, this is one of the things that I get angry at people about, but why should I get angry? Like, why do I care? But yeah,
it's just like a... for a while, it started as a... It's like you could get... I have a lot of records that were like $1, and I wanted to kind of try that record... And so I bought this, and I got into really got into ELO that way. Okay. Like, some things are very expensive, and some things are very cheap, and it's not entirely clear why. Like, Tom Waits records are invariably, even used, $30, $40. But ELO record, not saying that ELO is as good as Tom Waits, I don't know whatever you think about that, but ELO is $1 everywhere. It's like it's in the economy rack at every single thing, and yet you take it home, and that shit is awesome.
I know, but in the modern era, you can just get it for free online.
You can. You're right. I'm just saying that's how I kind of got into it. But then I got into the thing where, like, because they give you the free download. So you got this rec. Like, I order it. And my favorite bands, I order them ahead of time. I get the pre-release.
You're getting new ELO albums?
not ELO. Jeff Lynne's still doing it, guys. Nah, he is touring this summer, by the way. And I might go. But... No, they do, you know, you get the album, you get a little earlier than it normally comes out, and it has a little download in it anyway.
Yeah.
And so you've spent a little extra money, but you get, you're right, though. I can't actually justify it.
Yeah,
I can't
justify getting angry about it either. So.
No, I'm trying to tell you, I can't justify it.
I know, and I'm saying there's no good reason for me to get angry about it.
I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
This shit every time.
No, you pull this shit every time. Do it. Get angry.
I didn't want to come tonight.
I am not going to get angry. What's that?
I said I didn't even want to come tonight.
Why don't we talk about our past? Let's talk about Final Fantasy Fantasy and stuff.
Oh. Who cares?
Okay. Oh,
wow. I can think of a good reason not to. Because nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the worst behind the music of all time.
Right. Yeah, behind the thing you haven't heard about. Yeah. Next on VH1
5. Well, I just mean as like a thing of like, I don't know, how we all met and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that could be fun.
Gee, that's quite romantic, Streeter.
Our first improv team together.
Yeah, that's not true.
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't know this until recently that Matt had done improv before he came to the Bay Area.
Boston?
Oh, that was my first team. You're right.
Yeah.
I did.
But you mentioned that you took improv classes.
Yeah,
in
I took two classes.
Yeah,
I got to level two.
Team.
I was on a team. But you do a final show with your class, and I guess I was thinking that, okay, it's on a team.
You just tell us about it now. That we're going to find out about it when you run for office.
Exactly. What was this team? What was your original team?
No, I didn't have an original team. I forgot you guys were actually my first team.
Okay.
I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I yelled.
Yeah.
Well, we're on a terrible team.
I
love you guys. I think you're all great.
Wait, were you in our Harold's class?
We were all in the same Harold class in the end.
I couldn't remember if Hector was in it.
Yeah.
Yes, Hector.
I remember you being on my team, but for some reason, I thought you weren't in our class.
I
remember this. Dental floss.
I mean,
no, I'm just making up a Harold thing.
Dental floss. I know what I'm remembering. We did a West Side Story thing in one of our shows.
Yeah, you ended it too.
Exactly,
yeah, there was a West Side Story reference, and I remember Sreedhar initiated the snapping of the fingers.
Right.
And it was the button for that set.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember what the thing was, but yeah, I remember.
Even if I don't remember anything about the joke, I just love to hear that button.
I remember we recorded our first, like, our graduation set, and thinking it was really funny at the time, but I'm willing to bet if I watched
it now.
Oh,
I'm sure it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the problem with that is no one's going to bet you.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, you're not getting any takers at this table, buddy. Yeah.
I mean, I've said time and time again, I hate the Herald format. I hate, anything, sound and motion-y.
I was going to say, exactly, when Dan was doing the demo floss thing, I was thinking, if that was, an exercise or something that we did, a sound and motion thing.
I got too specific with that joke, I guess, but I hate that stuff,
exactly, all that fucking... you got to move around and be limber to learn how to do improv, so just make random motions, and we're not going to actually teach you how to do improv scenes. We're just going to teach you to do this preschool icebreaker stuff. It's really annoying.
Well, it also favors the limber.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I don't agree
they
with.
They say luck favors the limber.
But. Yeah.
Right. Another thing I guess I disagree with about improv teaching is not going into a scene with an idea for things.
Right.
And I constantly go into scenes with I'm going to do this, this, and this. If the other person does something where I can't do that, I'll deal with it. But I go into a scene sometimes with a little bit of a plot out in my head, and I'm I'm gonna try.
What is it to come into a scene it's premise based improv, right? What is it to have a premise other than to have an idea?
Well, I think there's a lot of those schools that teach you just go in and look at the person and see what emotion they're showing.
I hated that.
I could see from on some level. I can't believe I'm defending this right now.
Oh boy!
Because I totally agree with you. I could see why they would say, "Well, try not to do it so that you can learn, so that you can practice more to adjust, as opposed to always having to rely on one
or
of these
maybe.
Well."
Come
well
in
thought
with ideas
funny
and
things.
Learn how to adjust on the fly with ideas.
Yeah,
there's
course,
a lot
of
people
course.
Just fucking around and no scene emerges because no one even thought of anything,
I agree. We didn't actually do this, but I think I was always floating it, but I was just playing devil's advocate.
We were saying we should have
totally...
some shorthand that we would be like, hey,
yes,
look,
I was
I've
like,
got
we ought
an
to
idea,
have,
back off.
We ought to have signals that said... I got this one, let me drive.
If I put
and
my
like
left you, hand on your shoulder, that means let me drive
exactly.
right in. Yeah,
if I pull my earlobe
exactly.
and I remember, I felt bad because I was breaking all these improv rules.
Yeah, but who cares about the rules? Someone just made up these rules. We're going to make up new rules. Why should we do improv and not fimprov, where we just made up this new art form that works a lot better because people come in with ideas.
So that's why you do sketch.
Yeah.
That's how you do sketch now, absolutely. Nothing's allowed to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
Well, Del Close, all I know about him is that, he was kind of an asshole. I've never seen him do anything funny because I don't think there's a lot of, footage of him.
Mm-hmm. If you read the book Truth in Comedy, it's all a bunch of bullshit and name-dropping, right?
I've never read it.
That's mostly Sharma, right?
Yeah,
but he's part of it, too. I mean, people talk about it like it's his thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. People don't like Charna book. Right now.
I know. I've heard a lot of... I don't know a ton about her.
I don't really know
who she is.
They just closed iOS.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because it wasn't making money.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true.
Although for a long... Well, whatever. I'll talk about Charna later. But there's been a lot of things people don't like about her.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go on.
I feel like there's been a pattern people say of with sexual harassment things, she doesn't take them seriously. I shouldn't talk because I don't know any of this. I just hear what people say. Yeah.
They tend to take the not making money pretty seriously though.
Sometimes it's nice to spread rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was just gonna say in the age of the Me Too movement, money is still very important.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm raising my hand on that.
Just because you agree, not because of...
No. I made it clear at the beginning. This means cut that part out.
Oh, I thought that was the I've got a premise, let me drive.
Oh, no, that's this hand.
Oh, I see.
Okay, go ahead.
For the listeners, I went from my left hand to
my
right
hand.
Thank you, Krish.
I was going to narrate if you didn't, so...
I appreciate that. Someone had to.
Group mind.
That was very good, because Krish has to make that switch. You have to go, oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He's got to
do the switch in his head,
right,
real time.
Yeah,
he's got to do a real time switch there. Very nice.
Stage right is
when you are on stage. What do you consider to be the right?
So it's like the batter. It's right field because you're the batter.
I don't understand what you're saying here.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
or the catcher.
Stage right is
it's
just
like
when you're on
exact,
the stage.
It's like you're the catcher.
No, that's when exactly you, right. Right field is right as you're walking out to the outfield. Once you get out there and turn around, then you say, oh, no, I'm supposed to be playing the other side, and you run across.
Right.
No.
You'll notice every time a fielder goes out, he's going this way, and he's going towards, like, left field. Once he gets there, he'll turn around, and he immediately will switch sides.
They always have to go out one way and then turn.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then by the time you get there, the understudy's there ready just to take your job right from you. Unbelievable.
I mean, Dan, I've never gotten the
stage. Yeah, I'm a stage right, stage right, stage left. I've never, like, figured it. I've done, at this point, kind of a lot of shows.
It's weird how confusing they are.
Don't get it.
When they are also the most straightforward version of themselves, in a sense. One says, if you're on the stage, what do you consider right? That's stage right. The other says, if you're in the house, what do you consider right?
Right,
that's
it doesn't clarify. Right.
Yeah, but what if stage right meant...
Yeah, if you're looking at the stage. I know, that's what I'm saying. It's weird how it becomes
confusing. What if it's confusing. A thrust stage?
Mm-hmm. A what stage?
A thrust stage, where you have... Or like a theater in the round.
A theater in the round, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A that's theater how you in the round that's only how you has... Can... Stage clockwise and stage counterclockwise. Right.
That's how you confuse it in ethnicity of your choice.
Oh, raising my hand. Put him on my hand.
Put him on a theater in the round, tall next to stage right.
You know what I discovered was an amazing thing?
What does that mean?
No, it's like a repurposing of an old dopey joke.
Yeah,
you know?
Polish people.
Put somebody
right?
in a round room, tell them to pee in the corner. And it's, I assume that Swedes tell it about Norwegians, Norwegians tell it about Swedes.
Got it.
Polish people, totally unjustifiably so, have been subject to these jokes in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it, no matter how many times
I repeat it. I don't know. They made some mistakes in World War II. I think they deserve to get a little flack.
Okay.
For that.
You take two dumb Germans.
When I was a child.
A Japanese.
No.
And an Italian.
Why are you all about the Poles but not the Germans?
No, I was upset about the Japanese.
What? Why are you upset about the Germans but not the Japanese?
I mean,
were you okay with the Germans but not the Japanese?
I was going all Axis powers.
Because I'm white, so I was kind of...
Okay.
I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, anyway, when I was a child, we all told Polish people jokes, but we didn't even think about them as connected to actual Polish people. It was like telling pirate jokes, because like everyone where I grew up, half of them were Polish.
Yeah, right.
And the other half were pirates.
Yeah, offended everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And the Poles and the pirates could both agree that it was a tremendous tragedy, terrible loss of life when the Polish Navy had those... I don't know what they were thinking when they built those...
Screen door submarines.
We had that monument in town to the survivors.
When I was in Ohio, we made West Virginia jokes. The same exact thing. Yeah.
Oh, is that a real... That was a real thing.
That was a real thing, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Oh, and you were in Michigan.
Yeah, and Ohio is like we looked at Ohio like, and I carry this with me to this day.
Yeah.
A little bit of me is like Ohio, please.
Yeah. No, I get it.
We have two Ohio people here.
Yeah, we do.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I
apologize.
The same way we feel about the fact that you're a guest on this podcast. Means that all is forgiven?
Yes.
Well, I podcast down.
Wait, am I the only one here who's not from some backwoods flyover state?
What are you talking about? I'm from half an hour from New York City.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Yeah, you still fly over.
The people who fly into New York City fly to my state.
Right, isn't that a flyover?
No, you don't fly over, you fly to.
Oh, they get off in New Jersey?
In Newark Airport, frequently.
Right.
How do they get to New York from there?
And you take a cab.
Oh. I didn't even know how close it was.
Yeah. It's where they empty the latrines, though, right before they're about to land. It's true.
I mean, they normally do empty the latrines in the place where the airport is. That is correct.
I will make it clear, though, that most of our fans are probably relatives of ours, so they're all Ohioans or New Jerseyites, probably.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make it clear that I still... I'm just being honest when I say I still carry this with me. It's deeply ingrained. I have no justification for it. I don't even know where it comes from. All I know is it takes like 6 hours to drive through the state and the cops will pull you over and it's annoying. Yeah.
All true.
Okay.
It also takes 6 hours for three Ohioans to change a light bulb.
One to hold the ladder and two to... hold the bulb and two to turn the ladder. I got there.
You first got to drive to Cleveland to get to the light bulb. Sorry.
We're kind of on a break here.
Yes.
I think we're gonna close out for this session, take a little break. Before we break, just wondering if like you guys want to plug your shows. I know you all are in the same sketch group.
Yeah.
We are all in nap time, so please visit naptimecomedy.com to view our sketches and find out about upcoming shows, although we don't have one at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, just as a plug, we recently did a San Francisco Sketch Fest, and you should have been there.
If you need a copy of the video, we can send it to you.
Is there a video?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we have a video of our live show, but like, I would just watch the film sketches instead. I mean, yeah. The lighting and stuff on these live videos is never really...
And the actors are quite bad also on these live videos.
Some of the writing doesn't hold up, and...
I will say the sketch, I thought it was a great sketch show. There was another group that came up first I also thought was really good.
Hmm. Which one was that?
It was the Montreal one.
Spooky Dookie?
No, it was...
Although they're good too, yeah.
Something like...
Oh yeah, Spooky Dookie's not Montreal, are they?
No, Chicago.
Yeah.
What was it? Hot something?
Don't
hot
remember him. Didn't
fire
see him.
Or something.
Don't think we talked to him backstage.
Anyways, they were great.
Yeah.
Go check them out.
And also, Matt, you...
You can come see me do improv most Fridays.
And it's not like any of that like bullshit.
No, this is real improv. It's not the Herald. Yeah. It's not anything.
It's like...
Good. It's all pre-written. Yeah.
It's the You're Fucked
totally
Up Relationship
inert.
9 o'clock show. Yeah. I won't be there the next 2 weeks. I'm going on vacation, but come see the show anyway.
Yeah,
my team is very funny.
So. Oh, and you can catch me on the second Friday of every month. That is not the one-year anniversary show of the Pedestrians at the Endgames Training Sword Center North in San Francisco.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. We'll take a break and see you next week.
All right. Bye. See you next week. Bye.